You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, the Reserve Bank cuts interest rates for the first time since November 2020, what it means for you, your mortgage, your savings and investments. Plus, we speak with the CFO of BHP. All of Hi everyone, it is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Tuesday, the 18th of February 2025. The Australian share market fell today by 0.7% despite a rate cut from the Reserve Bank. We'll have the details with Michael McCarthy from Moomoo, plus the CFO of BHP, Vandita Pant. But first, to that Reserve Bank decision to cut interest rates for the very first time since November 2020 to 4.1%. That's a 25 basis point reduction. For the details, I spoke with the chief economist at HSBC, Paul Bloxham.
Paul, ultimately, why did the RBA cut interest rates?
Well, the main driver of this was that they got a downside surprise to inflation, and inflation is moving a little faster than they thought towards their target. So they felt that they had just enough evidence to be able to lower their cash rate by 25 basis points. But as they pointed out, their cash rate is still above what they call is neutral. So it's still actually contractionary. It's still weighing on the economy. It's just weighing on the economy a little less than it was prior to the cut.
The RBA expects underlying inflation to come down faster as first thought, as you mentioned, 2.7% by June 2025, and then stay there for the next couple of years. So we saw that in its statement on monetary policy. But am I right in thinking that assumes three interest rate cuts? Can I get your thoughts on that, and what are the risks to that?
Well, that was exactly what the RBA was messaging today in what they delivered. So they now think that inflation on their main measure, the trim mean, gets to 2.7% and tracks sideways at that level. So it doesn't get back to their 2.5% target. But that assumes, of course, that the cash rate is cut in line with the market pricing, which is three more cuts. So what they're explicitly saying is they disagree with market pricing. They don't think that if the cash rate was cut by that much, they would actually get back to target. So they're really trying to give a pretty clear message that you shouldn't expect as many cuts as the market's currently pricing.
Any indication on where to now? What's the vibe there? What do the RBA suggest about whether or not we'll see more interest rate cuts? And then what do you think?
Well, I think that's exactly the message that the RBA is delivering, which is they've just delivered a cut, but we shouldn't expect another follow-up cut for a little while, that the economy is still operating at really close to full capacity. The unemployment rate's expected to track sideways at 4.2%, which is quite a low level, and that inflation is still it's set to be in the target band, but it's still going to be in the upper part of the target band. So we shouldn't expect too many more rate cuts anytime soon. And that's our central case as well. We think the next move is likely to be another cut that we get in the third quarter of this year. And then we think there'll be one more cut in the early part of 2026. And that's it. So that would give you three cuts in this cycle. And that, I think, is consistent with the messaging we're getting from the RBA as well.
Okay, that is the chief economist at HSBC, Paul Bloxham. Let's now take a closer look at what this interest rate cut means for mortgages. So someone with a $600,000 home loan, which is for an owner-occupier over 25 years, paying principal and interest, and with a variable rate of 6.32%. So that $600,000 loan would see new minimum monthly repayments of $3,892. That would be a reduction of about $92. Obviously, if your loan is higher, you get a bigger cut. So, for example, if your home loan is $1 million, your new minimum monthly repayment would be $6,486, and that's a reduction of $154 per month. Obviously, it all depends on whether or not your bank passes on that rate cut in full. A few moments after the RBA decision, we did hear from each of the big four banks which agreed to pass on that rate cut in full to their variable home loan customers, but at various lengths. So, for example, NAB is cutting those rates from the 28th of February, our Westpac from the 4th of March, the Commonwealth Bank and ANZ also on the 28th of February. So for more on what it means for you and for your mortgage, along with your savings rates, because remember, they will be impacted as well. I spoke with Sally Tindall, Consumer Insights Director at Canstar.
So assuming the banks pass it on to their customers, right, that rate reduction, do those borrowers get that automatically, or do you need to ask your bank for it?
So if you're on a variable rate mortgage, your interest rate should automatically be reduced if your bank is passing it on in full, and it should happen within about 2 weeks of the announcement. However, your minimum monthly repayments and your direct debits may not automatically go down. Some banks will keep your monthly repayments at the exact same level unless you proactively reach out to them and ask them to lower them.
What are some tips for people still wanting to pay off their mortgage faster in a falling interest rate environment?
If you can possibly keep your monthly repayments at the same level, it is worth considering, because any extra interest that you would have handed over to your bank can then go back into your mortgage as an extra repayment. It has the potential to save you thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. It could even see you be free of the shackles of the mortgage months, if not years earlier.
What about savings rates? They'll fall as a result too?
The cash rate cuts are always a double-edged sword. Yes, one-third of households have a mortgage, but that means two-thirds of households across the country either have savings in the bank or would like to have savings in the bank. And for these people, this is a bad pill to swallow. Unfortunately, we will see savings rates drop on the back of this cash rate announcement today. There are still going to be likely a handful of rates out there that are above that 5% mark. It could be a good time to take your nest egg shopping for a competitive interest rate.
And finally, RBA rate cuts, do they apply to credit cards?
So banks and lenders don't tend to move credit card interest rates in line with the RBA. So if you were hoping for an interest rate cut on your credit card, unfortunately, you'll need to think again. That all said, the average credit card interest rate at the moment is 18.59%, yet there is a decent handful of providers offering at least one credit card rate under 10%. The lowest is sitting at below 8%. You could get yourself the equivalent of 10 percentage points off your credit card interest rate just by shopping around.
That's Sally Tindall there from Canstar. We'll leave the rates coverage there just for a moment. We'll get market reaction soon. But first, to one of the big profit results of the season, that's BHP. It did declare its lowest dividend in 8 years amid a slowdown in Chinese steel demand, the company posting a 23% decline in underlying profit as some commodity prices remain under pressure, including its biggest earner and Australia's single largest export, iron ore. So what's BHP's future? For more, Raina Bosch spoke with the company's CFO, Vandita Pant.
Vandita, thank you so much for jumping on for a chat. I do want to kick off by talking about your results, specifically BHP's dividend, which came in at its lowest in 8 years. What's your message to shareholders, especially those who are attracted to yield?
So my message is very clear, that BHP is in great shape, both operationally and financially. Our volumes are up 5%. Unit costs are down 4%. Western Australia iron ore business continues to be the leading iron ore business in the world. BMA in Queensland, production's up 14%. And copper has grown 10% this half, contributing almost 40% to EBITDA. What that has delivered is a net operating cash flow of more than $8 billion this half, which on run rate basis in line with more than $15 billion a year for all years bar one in the past 15 years. That stability is the hallmark of BHP and something that our investors really value. We have declared an interim dividend of 50 cents US per share. That's 79 cents on Aussie dollar. And we are continuing to progress and mature and execute our organic options across copper, potash, and some growth in Vale. So a great set of results.
Yeah, you mentioned iron ore and copper there. Iron ore has for a long time underpinned much of the success of BHP. But to what extent are you shifting your focus to copper?
So I would say Iron ore is and will be a great business for BHP. For the fifth year in a row, it's the lowest cost producer of iron ore majors globally and produces extra $8 per ton of cash in Pilbara compared to the nearest competitor. But equally, you know that when we set up our new clean, clear strategy, we said that we wanted more exposure in future-facing commodities like copper, which has a very attractive demand-supply dynamics and a price trajectory, which is very positive. And it's so fantastic to see that the contribution of copper coming so clearly through in these results with 40% contribution. But not only that, we have some great growth options going forward here in Australia, in Chile, in Argentina, and in the US on copper growth. So very excited about that.
I do want to ask you about China very quickly, knowing that it has impacted your results to an extent. How do you, or how would you describe the economy there at the moment?
Yeah, last year was actually a growth year for China at around 5%. Most of the sectors did well, but construction continued to be weak. What we are seeing now is that pro-growth strategies and policies which have been put in by the government, they are going to pull increasingly towards the settings which will allow the economy to rebalance as well as boost domestic demand. And that means we are set up for less of a drag from construction. In fact, what we are seeing on the ground is early signs of recovery, including in construction in last quarter. And what that means is we are set up for yet another year after the sixth year in a row of 1 billion plus steel production out of China, which is fantastic because, as you know, most of our iron ore goes to China. So looking for really seeing the early green shoots and pro-growth policies of the government are going to be important and are going to get used, especially if some headwinds of tariffs, etc., come their way.
The Australian share market fell today. The S&P ASX 200 off by 0.7%, 8,481. For more, I spoke with Michael McCarthy from Moomoo.
Michael, how did the market react to the RBA decision to cut interest rates by 25 basis points?
Well, it wasn't sure what to do, Ricardo. This cut in interest rates had been so well flagged that we did see an initial positive reaction. The market ran up by about 10 points or so, but it was pretty clear there was very little follow through buying because essentially this rate cut was no new news. And the market quickly reversed those gains and fell about 35 points before stabilizing and returning to the point that it started at. And that reflects what we already knew. This cut was baked into the market and the market response, although it was a little erratic initially, reflected that by basically remaining unchanged.
What about the Australian dollar? I saw some headlines saying that if the RBA were to hold rates, we'd see that Australian dollar rise.
Yes, and it has already risen off the lows that we saw around 61 cents, was trading around 63.5 cents when this decision was announced. And once again, the initial reaction was just what you would expect. A cut in interest rates drove the Aussie dollar down. But once again, there was no follow-through selling, and it bounced straight back, went a little higher, and settled back where it had started around that 63.5 US cent mark. So once again, fully baked into the currency and the share markets.
What's the market now expecting for further moves, and does that change the way you invest?
It has changed the way the market is thinking. We're seeing now the pricing of two interest rate cuts over the course of the rest of this year, the first one delivered by July. So the thinking clearly is that the RBA has now taken an easing stance, and that does support valuations in the share market. And although we didn't really see a massively positive reaction today, that shift in thinking about the rest of the year could see buyers moving into the share market over the rest of this week.
Okay, reporting season rolls on. Can we look at BHP first of all? Its lowest interim dividend declared in 8 years. What does this say about the company, and how did you read its profit result?
BHP is being true to label with the result that it announced today. Over the course of the previous year, we'd seen a moderation in major commodity prices, and in particular, iron ore prices, but also coal and gas. And that fall in commodity prices obviously affects revenue at a major global miner like BHP. So BHP has stuck to its knitting. It purports to be a global commodity stock. That's exactly the way it behaved. And given the global commodity cycle turned down slightly over the course of 2024, we saw that reflected in BHP's result. There's nothing to be concerned about from a shareholder point of view. Operationally, the business seems to be going very well, but it is naturally exposed to the commodity price cycle, and that's the major driver of the result we saw from BHP today.
Any other profits catch your eye today?
Well, the ones that really are starting to annoy me, Ricardo, are the property sector. Of the 11 official sectors on the market, the property sector has reported about half of the stocks, and it's the standout, both in terms of increases in revenue, and because many of the costs in property investment are fixed, that drops straight through to the bottom line. So it's also the most profitable sector in terms of growth and in terms of surprise. So it should mean over the coming weeks and months, we'll see more support and a rotation into those property trusts and the development companies within that sector. It is personally annoying as I find this the most boring sector on the market.
Okay, Mike. And where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Well, at the moment, there's a real focus on the US-listed China businesses. Now, tech has been the theme for 2 years, and those magnificent stocks, magnificent seven stocks in the US, have led the way for the globe. Interestingly, other tech stocks, and in particular Chinese tech stocks, have not followed. And so I think the opportunity at the moment in terms of valuation and in terms of being underweight is in those US-listed China stocks. Stocks like Alibaba, Baidu, Tencent Music all appear on a valuation basis at least to be well below their global peers. And that might be where we'll see catch up over the course of 2025.
That is Michael McCarthy there from Moomoo. Don't forget, if you do enjoy the podcast, review wherever you stream your podcasts from.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.